This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast, we want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 497 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed. Welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the food and wine over at Epcot for 2023, because even though we're in August and the end of July, it has started. To help me talk about that, we've got first Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
What is happening, Ed? It's the International Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, and it's just too hot for cheddar cheese soup. But man, I want it so bad.
Oh, it was tough. Sam and I had a great time touring around with our friend John. To help us talk about that, we also have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. I am ready to talk about all 114 days of Food and Wine Festival.
That's a lot.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of days, all the way right up until Festival of Holidays, which starts this year, by the way. I looked into this because it was so awesome hanging out on opening day, just tasting things. I thought, I want to do this for Festival of Holidays. And the first day it starts is Black Friday. I mean, after Thanksgiving is the opening of the Festival of Holidays. We'll talk about that later. But for it's the food and wine.
They've got their time.
Festival of the Holidays. I'm sorry. It's not Festival of the Holidays is what it's called.
Okay. Disney has their timetables, and they keep to them like you wouldn't believe.
They do.
I was at the parks on August 1st. I was at Magic Kingdom. And wouldn't you know it, the pumpkins are all up and out now. So they are already decorated for Halloween on August 1st.
August 11th is the first party.
I'm jealous. Fun. I already asked my husband three times if we could put our Halloween stuff out. So, I mean, maybe I'm on the Magic Kingdom time frame too.
Well, there's your argument. There's your ammunition. Now Disney did it.
I found the Costco Disney Halloween little figurine set that we're seeing everyone want.
Yes.
Yep. I got it back in beginning of July, maybe 4th of July weekend. They had it premiered and a couple of the sales clerks were like, oh my gosh, you found one. We've had people coming in for 2 weeks saying that they've seen it in the ads and they're ready to find it. So it's a popular one this year.
There you go.
Oh, very cool. Okay. So we're going to be talking food and wine today. Sam and I and our friend John from Intercot were able to walk around Food and Wine's opening day last Thursday at Epcot, and it was fun. And as Sam said, it was hot.
It was hot. It was fun. Anybody listening is going to say, oh, come on. It was work, Ed. We were working. You were going one direction. I was going another direction. We were gathering food. We were bringing it back. We were sharing it. We were tasting it. We were recording ourselves. Oh, baloney. It wasn't work. It was fun as can be.
Oh, no, it was work. And it took us a couple countries to get it figured out.
Yes. Yes.
We started over by the test track, and we'll talk about each of the kiosks as we go.
Yeah.
But we started over by there by connections and the back of test track and went over to the Odyssey, then to Mexico and the rest of the way around the world show.
And there's a couple of things up in there that we'll talk about. But why don't we get to the other stuff before we get around the world? Is that good? Because I think Melissa's got a list of stuff to keep us honest. Because that's
I gotta keep your stomachs on track.
It's what we need.
Well, you know, we talked about food, and food is a huge part. I think the integral part of food and wine. It's in the name. But what about any of the merch? Let's start there. Did you find any good finds, good deals, things that were a swing and a miss?
I like the pattern this year, Ed. I sort of like the theme that they have. It's a white background with a bunch of, you know, everything's different. I got the shirt because I always do. And I came home with a charcuterie board, too, that I kind of liked among many of their collections.
Right. Did I see Mickey and Minnie as the characters for the festival?
Mickey and Minnie are the characters. Figment is on annual pass merchandise. We'll talk about that in a minute. Remy is on some merchandise. And there was a line for Encanto, right? Is that the...
The newish movie.
Oh, yeah. That is Sam is showing me a picture of an apron, and it does look kind of like the dress style of the characters in Encanto, Colombian kind of floral pattern.
And there were quite, there was a collection that included a serving tray and a plate and of course, pins and magnets, all that kind of stuff.
You know, it was different this year. The little tray, you just mentioned it. The tray for food and wine they always sell is that clear tray that's got designs on it for two, whatever the year. This year it was made out of wood.
It was bamboo. And it
had the same hole for your drink to sit on and had the big flat serving area for like your food and things like that so you can hold it and move around. But it was nice.
Maybe that was an environmental change going from plastic to reusable bamboo recyclable bamboo.
Sort of a bamboo sustainability theme going on. You're absolutely right,
Melissa. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
There was also what appeared to be almost a serving tray with legs on it, and the legs held it up maybe 6 inches off the ground, and there were four of those little cutouts where you could put a wine glass around this thing and a hole for a bottle of wine along with a place on it. Was I liked it, but it didn't come with the wine glasses. Those were extra, but I did not come home with it, but that was kind of cool. It was a cool little item. And of course, all of the tumblers and the backpacks, the lounge pies, right, and the Mickey ears and all that stuff was part of the festival.
Right. I got to say, I was disappointed a little bit with the annual pass holder shirt. I thought it was a little thin. I thought it was a little very, I don't know the right word for it. Cheap, maybe?
The material was very thin, yes.
When you showed me the picture of it, I would agree it is more of that thin tissue type cotton material that you tend to see in like junior misses, you know, junior girls type clothes where your sports bra is also a part of the fashion. So although it's like full coverage, it's more of that thin tissue material to kind of be wispy. So I don't think that it's as inclusive for both male and female necessarily as other shirts have been in the past. But to be fair, a lot of times the pass holder shirt is a unisex size. So this one might just be more geared towards, you know, younger women this year.
To give you an example, it was basically like a baseball shirt, old time baseball shirt, where the sleeves were yellow and the front of the shirt and the back of the shirt were white with the Figment decal on the front of it. Again, I would have grabbed that if it was a normal t-shirt in a heartbeat. But yeah. Next time.
Perhaps it's early and they'll come up with another one.
Right.
We saw that last year where it's like not all the merch came out right away. It sort of came in waves.
Yes.
Right. And as we're going along, we're going to be bringing that up because they kind of handled the food booths in that way too, in that not all of them were open at the festival's opening day.
What stunk? Come on.
Oh, it's horrible. Hawaii wasn't open. We'll get there.
But that's the one that we were going to first. Come on. I want that slider. Anyway.
Yep. Very much so. Okay, guys. So we started our day, like I said, behind connections, behind the test track, kind of between those two, where they have a couple of the booths set up. They've got the Flavors for Fire and Coastal Eats there.
Coastal Eats was good.
You know what? And it was too early in the morning to have the crab cake or the oysters Rockefeller. So I didn't have anything at that point.
By the time I got there, the oysters were sold out and the crab cake was really good. It was probably towards the top of my list, that crab cake. Just thought it was really good. Over by Test Track again this year, a repeat from last year, is the Fry Basket, which was really good. And they added something this year, which is the deep fried pickles.
Right.
Which gets to, you know, the pickles sort of a theme that we're going to pick up on a bit there.
What's the most important question? What are the pickle fries served with?
They are served with a dill ranch type of a dip.
Okay.
Which was good.
Right. And they come standing up like French fries. I mean, literally they look like fries.
They do.
And they still have the fry flight.
Yep.
Say that fast three times, which is always good to get. And I didn't do it this year, but last year it was a great thing to do is you get the fries, you walk over to the Odyssey and you get some wings and you basically have yourself like a bigger lunch. At one point.
The flight is good. The sea salt and malt vinegar, kind of basic, a barbecue bacon fry. And the one I really like is the sweet potato casserole fries, which is candy pecans, toasted marshmallow cream, maple bourbon glaze. It's dessert in a French fry. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I love that jumped right in the food, Ed. Just keep going.
Oh, sure. Definitely. So from there, the obvious course was to go across the bridge over to the Odyssey restaurant and to go into there. And this year, Brew Wing Lab has been taken over by the Muppets, specifically Dr. Hudson Bunny.
Try that one more time.
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
There you go.
And his loyal assistant Beaker.
So what kind of drinks and wings did they have there?
They had everything there. It was quite the showcase. In fact, I am going to plug a video over in Sam's Dizzy Diary where I recorded all of the little clips of Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker talking about their experiments that have led them to these different concoctions that they've come up with. And the wings were interesting. And Ed, I know you had a couple of these. The peanut butter and jelly sticky wings is the first on the list. To me, it tasted like they dipped the wings in a jar of peanut butter. It was very, very peanut butter and very, very sticky.
Kind of Asian, if you think about it, because there is some like really good Asian dishes that have that peanut flavor going.
Yeah, it's almost like a Thai inspiration.
Almost. Not a lot of jelly, though, for it to be peanut butter and jelly. But anyway, next one, my favorite. And Ed, I think you like this one. The garlic Parmesan wings I thought were really good.
They were awesome. Yep.
No spice. Very tasty. Garlic and Parmesan. Absolutely loved it. It was good. The next one's the orange wings, which to me was like orange chicken that maybe you'd get in China or someplace. It was really good. Good, tasty, not spicy.
Right. Do all these wings, are they all bone-in or boneless?
Everything we've gone so far is bone-in wings, including the traditional buffalo wings. That's a little bit spicy, not very. Did you have that one, Ed?
I didn't, because I figured it was going to be like a buffalo wing I've already had. I got to say, the Impossible wings probably don't have bones in them. I didn't try it.
They do not. So that's the next one here.
That would be fantastic if they could try.
The next one on the list is the Impossible Buffalo Chicken Tenders with plant-based blue cheese, plant-based ranch, and celery. I did have it. It looked like chicken tenders, tastes like chicken tenders. There is a sauce on them that's a little bit spicy, but not a lot. The sauce was the best part. I know that watching social media, there are some people that absolutely love these. To me, this was eating breaded breading, but that's just my thoughts on it. I know other people love it. And look, if you're not looking to eat meat and don't want chicken wings, this is a great option, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Lastly, actually, there's two more things. And in fact, I'm going to skip one for a second because in addition to the Impossible Buffalo Chicken Tenders, which is vegetarian, there's also the Buffalo Brussels Sprouts with plant-based blue cheese and ranch. And Ed, I know you had those. What were your thoughts there?
Right. They're really good. Think of the bar Brussels sprouts where they're fried up. There's a lot of oil and it was buffalo sauce on top of it. So very spicy. You know, very, very oily, though. Once you got to the bottom of the little tray there, definitely good.
Yeah, but they were really good. And then the last one, it comes straight from Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. The unnecessarily spicy yet extremely tasty Scottish Bonnet pepper curry wings with cool cucumber yogurt. And that's the name as it's written on the board. And it is absolutely unnecessarily spicy. Very spicy.
Were you talking to me about the chef as far as asking how the spiciness goes and like how spicy he thought these were? Or was that John? Because he was like asking the chef about these guys to tell him, because a lot of times they say the spiciest they can be and they really aren't spicy. And the chef was like, yeah, scale of 9 to 10, definitely a 9 on spiciness.
I had one of the chefs tell me a 9.5 and another one tell me a 10. They are indeed spicy. They were unnecessarily spicy. I like hot. I'm not a fan of as much heat as I could possibly take. I like flavor. I like taste, which is why, to me, the garlic parmesans are perfect. I don't need the heat. But if you're in the spice, this is spicy.
As I say, you get about like 5 wings, I think it was.
Yeah, it's probably serving. 5.
So it's a pretty generous serving. I wish they had some type of flight with these wings. So you can get like one of every wing. I think that would be perfect. They don't do that, so you do have to get the separates. But if you go with a group of people, everybody gets their own, you share.
Everybody gets one, and you could see how unnecessarily spicy the other ones
are. How many wings are in each basket?
I'm going to say 5 or probably 5.
Oh, it's a decent serving.
It's a decent serving. It's a combination of they're wing dings, right? So some are the drumstick and others are the wing.
Right.
It's not bad.
Yeah, they're very good. I mean, they're just like the normal wings you get, just with the great sauces.
Yep. A good and we're going to spend some time here at the Brew Wing because everybody loves this.
Right. And before we get any further on to the drinks, I just want to really quick. Sam mentioned about how they had the videos inside the room. So you got to mention, you got to imagine the Odyssey, the big round room when you go inside there. Well, actually, as you go in the entrance, you go to the part where you get the food. And then off to the right, you go through the doorway. That's where they had that preview for the new Epcot attractions and such like that.
Yep.
So it's a big round room with the windows. It used to be a restaurant.
Yep.
Inside there, they got various high tops and tables all over the place. And then all along the walls, they've got the descriptions and different posters. And they also have these, and it was kind of weird figuring it out because you look at the wall and there's things moving on the wall, meaning they had videos showing on the wall, so animation. You would see like a clock with eyes that were moving in it. A lot of, I think, Muppets Lab type stuff all over the place from the Muppet Show.
Absolutely. There were some really cool things describing what was happening. It was good stuff all the way along.
Yeah. And every so often, probably about 5 times in the room itself, you had about, I'd say, like a 5-foot by 5-foot screen that would eventually, it would play the same screen scene over and over, but then eventually it would come live with Bunsen and Beaker, and they would do a 35-second, 60-second bit about a different food item or a different discovery or such like that.
Yeah, and it was cool, and that's exactly what I captured and threw in that video because I wanted the whole loop. I wanted to stick around. There are probably 5 to 6 minutes between each of those clips. The longest one, I think, was about 4 minutes, but the shortest one was about 30 seconds, and it's a pretty cool loop of things that they talk about.
Right, no doubt.
I love the integration of bringing the Muppets back in different ways throughout the parks. You know, they had them in Magic Kingdom. They've had them now back to Epcot, and these are just – fun ways to keep them alive and doing what Muppets do.
Yeah.
So I love this. This will definitely be on our list in November.
I love this Odyssey and what they've done with it because just this year, if you go back to the Festival of Arts, this was Figment's Imagination Station. If you go to the Food and Wine Festival, this was the Orange Bird's place. Now did I say Food and Wine or Flower and Garden? It was Orange Bird's place.
Right.
Now it's Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. And I hope they do something here at Christmas as well. It's a great space. They're wrapping it. They're theming it. They're pulling the food into it. I think it's very well done.
The other thing that Odyssey is known for, as you mentioned just a moment ago, is the beer that they've had. They've been a brewery. So were there delicious beers that went and paired well with your wings?
There were absolutely a ton of beers that paired with the wings and flights, 2 different flights. So there were 6 different beers, including some ciders like a raspberry lemonade hard cider, a peach berry hard cider, another tropical hard cider. That was one of the flights. Then an old fashioned porter, along with Sunkissed Brewing Lager and a Hub French Connection IPA. So yes, some really good beers to pair with this. But I think most importantly in the pairing, and Ed, I'll let you get to this, the unnecessarily hot wings had some very interesting things to go along with them for certain.
Well, that's the thing. You mentioned all those great beers and ales and hard ciders and such. Unfortunately, the beverages that are going to take the award from this kiosk or this area are going to be two fruity, two sweet type of beverages.
That's right.
Creations of Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. They were really good. And I tell you what, the one people are going to talk about and keep on talking about throughout this entire festival. It was the main conversation for the entire day. The first one, which wasn't the one, but the first one was called the Frozen Fusion, which was a fruity raspberry and pomegranate type of drink. And what was cool about it, it had these little orange, what'd they call them, Sam?
They call them orange. Well, I found two descriptions of them. One was a layer of orange Arctic dots. One was orange ice cream molecules.
Yeah, they're dipping dots.
They're dipping dots. When you get into the back and watch what they're putting on. So basically you have this frozen iced tea based. In fact, it's Twiglings. Is that how you say the brand of tea?
Yep.
Twinings.
Twinings. It's Twinings pomegranate raspberry tea. They're the sponsors of all this stuff. So it's really good. It's a frozen drink and they're putting orange dipping dots on the top. So very tasty. Good. Non-alcoholic. You get to keep the souvenir cup that sucker comes in. It's cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that is being overshadowed by
the pickle milkshake.
The pickle milkshake. Yes.
Yeah, you're going to have to really explain this one because on the surface, I love pickles. I love fried pickles, pickle juice, love pickles. Pickle milkshake, I don't know.
So I'm gonna describe it the way I had it the first time I had it, which was immediately following the unnecessarily spicy yet extremely tasty Scotch Bonnet pepper curry wings. And it was so good. It was amazing because it was cooling. It had sort of a dill flavor to it. It was good. I absolutely loved it, which begged the question. And I asked the chef, who, by the way, told me that's exactly what they wanted the pairing to be like. But my thought was, what happens when I come back tomorrow and it's 95 degrees outside, standard Florida, and I decide to go in and get a pickle milkshake? How's this thing going to taste? And it was still pretty good. It's still pretty good.
Imagine
a vanilla milkshake. Like a sweet and salty combination?
I don't know if there was salty to it. What would you say, Ed? Imagine, which, by the way, Ed tried this for the first time, and it's on the Instagram channel, Disney Nerds, his reaction. So.
Oh, it was great. Imagine a vanilla milkshake with dill accent to it. It wasn't overpowering, but it was enough to let you know that it was a pickle milkshake. And as far as going with the food, it's perfect for the wings because you really aren't really noticing the flavor as much as that milkshake's kind of cooling everything down.
I'm going to say put it on your list, but I wouldn't go with the unnecessarily hot wings unless you're really into that. I'll also say that the way this thing is served, it has whipped cream on the top. Then they shake on it what looks like these little black and sort of brown specks. That's actually chocolate. Then they put a piece of dill on it. So the first thing that I did was took that piece of dill off because I don't want that coming up through my straw. That's just me. I think others out there are going, yeah, I know what he means. Take that thing out of there. But the chef had mentioned, if you drink some of it out of this and mix this up, that chocolate sort of gets in with the dill milkshake and it adds quite an interesting taste to it. So something to think about.
Beautiful.
Again, keep the cup, keep the pickle cup, same as they've done with the prior things. If you remember, it was Figment's. There was a purple milkshake for Figment and there was an orange one for Orange Bird. Now there's a pickle thing. Interesting. I love the use of the Odyssey. Although any other comments on the food here before I go down one rat hole? All right, then I'm going down it because for the Festival of Arts, this is where there was a bunch of Figment merchandise and you got your Figment popcorn bucket. For the Flower and Garden Festival, this is where you got your Orange Bird sippy cup and there was Orange Bird merchandise. For the food and wine merchandise, for the food and wine festival, there is no merchandise in this location. And there's no Muppets sippy cup or popcorn bucket or anything. Oh. And I think it's a huge miss, Disney. Come on. Where's my honeydew? And where's Ed? I want a popcorn bucket. Give me the Electric Mayhem for crying out loud. I'd buy it in a minute.
I remember last year getting a Figment spork at the Odyssey last year.
Yes. There's no merchandise. It's more tables, and maybe that was the feedback they got. They want more tables in here, more places to sit. So there's more of that, but they had this, you know, the mobile ordering to get your Figment bucket, the mobile ordering to get your Orange Mark sippy cup. This is where they did it. And to me, it's a huge miss. Give me my Muppet something. The Mayhem just was on Disney Plus, or Honeydew and Beaker, or a test tube of some sort. Ugh. Anyway. All right, I'm off.
You're getting a pickle mason jar.
A plastic pickle mason jar.
Don't put it in a dishwasher. Don't put it in a
dishwasher. No, don't put it in a dishwasher.
So I take we are at the Odyssey. We've finished up. We've probably used the restroom, right? We had a lot to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of spicy things to eat. Walking over the bridge and into Mexico.
Right. And in the Odyssey, make sure you use the restroom inside the Odyssey, not the restrooms outside on the way to Mexico. There is a difference.
Yeah, agree.
But yes, we headed to Mexico. And actually, the first kiosk, as you're crossing onto the World Showcase pathway, the Noodle Exchange to the side here was not open yet.
So that was still not open. Not till August
15th. And I was really looking forward to it. So August 15th seems to be the second date for a lot of these closed kiosks to open.
I don't get it, but okay, whatever.
And there was a big crowd there too, so it can't be because of that. So now we crossed over to Mexico, and one of the first things we realized is as we're looking at our food and wine festival guide, the little booklets they give you, there's no real good map that tells you where these items are, where these kiosks can be found.
Not that there's no good map. There is no map. Anywhere, period, in the book. So the first thing you want to do is take a picture of one of the maps on the kiosks, because that's the only way you're going to find anything.
Right. And you'll see them. The big kiosks are like 6 feet tall. There's one right at the end of the Odyssey pathway, and they're probably walking into each part of Epcot's World Showcase. So you're going to find these. And that'll help you find these locations. The book itself is kind of in order, but it's just tough to know exactly where you're going to find them.
Yeah. Now, we started out with good intentions in Mexico, Ed, because this is where we started and thought, you know what? We're going to stop at every one of these kiosks and we're going to try some things. So if we can split it, we're going to try it. We'll get a drink. And we ended up at Mexico with a few things, including the braised beef on a fried corn tortilla, the slow braised short rib on a corn tortilla, and a Trouble in Paradise margarita, along with their dessert, the Pastel Impossible. Is that what it is? Anyway, we ended up with some cool things here.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The margarita was watermelon flavored, so think that, watermelon and lime.
Yes, watermelon good.
Which is really cool. And the taco, I think, was better, but, you know, that's going to be everybody's food choice.
Both good. And that, right. That's where we started, and we had really good intentions, Ed. We were going to get everywhere. The dessert was really, really good. I like that a lot. That is layers of Mexican flan along with guava and a couple other things. I liked it a lot.
Oh, and you're right. It was layered. I do remember that.
Yes.
Mexico was a really cool stop. This was the first stop after the Odyssey, so we're still trying to get our legs underneath of us and how we're going to do these reviews.
Yeah.
John had filmed the entire time. And in Mexico, it was one of those perfect things. As we were finishing up and signing off, the mariachi band was walking out and they started playing. So it was like
a good timing
sign-off for this stop.
It was kind of funny because I think we looked down and it was 5 minutes to noon at this point, and they were putting the rope up and it was like, we got to go now.
They were serenading you into Norway.
They absolutely were.
Something else that kind of stands out now, we left the Mexico area where the mariachi guys were playing, and it was a long area or long walking. How do I say this? Hang on a second. It was a long ways before we got to the China kiosk where there was nothing. There was no tables. There was no other food stands. There was just that one Norway ice cream stand on the left side.
Yep.
And I thought that was really kind of odd. The whole time around World Showcase this year, it almost seemed like there was a lot of empty spaces between kiosks that for some reason I thought actually had other food places before. So I haven't really kind of figured out if that was the case or not. It just seemed like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we did get some food in China and brought it back to Mexico to eat. So it's sort of the same place. The pan-fried chicken dumplings with house-made sweet and sour sauce and the crispy duck bo bun, which, man, there's so much dough in that. Or the bao bun, or however you say it.
Yeah. And we'll talk about Japan also, but I figured what we got in Japan was what I was expecting to get in China. In China, it was kind of like an open two-sided bun with the duck meat inside of it. So it was kind of like a sandwich.
Yes.
Which I didn't expect. And maybe I was just wrong in not realizing that. The dumplings were good. However, you can get those dumplings in almost any restaurant.
Yeah, that felt like an appetizer out of Nine Dragons, to be honest.
And they gave you two dumplings just to keep track of what that was.
Going into Africa, they have historically had a good kiosk there. Was there anything that you tried going into Africa or skipped? Was that another dead spot and went right into Germany?
So Africa had the refreshment outpost, and Kenya and India were both in there. Now in India, we did stop, or I stopped for the cherry spiced crispy cheese with mango cherry ketchup, because that counted for Fermil's montage, which is the if you purchase 5 dishes that have cheese and are marked, you get a stamp, and then you're able to cash that stamp in for a completer prize, which we'll get to at the end. Now, I went and bought 2 of these because I wanted 2 stamps, because I wanted to get it done with faster.
Nice.
The curry spiced cheese was cheese sticks with a curry ketchup, which really wasn't very flavorful. There were probably better cheese options that we could have gone with.
Right. And just to give you a hint, Emile's montage, it's really Emile's fromage montage.
Yes.
Fromage being the whole cheese tie into this. So there's a number of different cheese type of things you can buy that'll help you get this. Once you get all 5 of them, then you get yourself a reward dessert down the road. We'll talk about that in a bit.
This is a common thing that they've done, at least at Christmas, where you do the cookie walk.
That's right.
Or the hot chocolate trail, like things like that, where you sort of buy this similar type and get that stamp. So I'm excited to hear what the prize was.
Yes, mm-hmm. We will definitely get to that. And I had to go out of my way, and I had to buy the cheese things to make it happen. So that was a stop in Kenya. Then we did a couple of other stops, the Alps. I think this is where we divided and conquered, Ed, if I remember right.
Well, we kind of figured it out that what we're going to do is there was 3 of us. So each of us went to a different kiosk to buy a couple of items that we were going to enjoy eating. We all bring them back together, and then we started reviewing them in different countries at one time.
So we ended up with food from Kenya, the Alps, Germany, and there's one other one here. Where did that?
No, that's from Kenya in the front.
That's from Kenya. Okay.
Yeah, that's the beef.
That's where those all came from. So that's right. It's the Kenyan coffee barbecue beef.
Right, which is good. That was really good.
That was good. Then we did get 2 more cheeses. These came from the Alps, which is right there in Germany, which is, I didn't realize this at the time, but it is the same dish, but one comes with ham and one doesn't, which is how do you say that cheese? Warm raclette?
Raclette? I'm not sure.
Raclette Swiss cheese. Raclette, thank you. Raclette Swiss cheese with baby potatoes, a baguette, and some other things in it, vegetables of some sort. One had ham, one didn't. It was okay. It was not the best thing we had. Let's put it that way.
Raclette can get a little stinky. So, we tried.
Yes, the smelling like foot cheese.
Did you bring back the stuff from Germany yet?
I did.
All right. So you
brought back the bratwurst on the pretzel roll from Germany, and I brought back the apple strudel because we have to start doing some desserts.
Yeah, and I will say that as we started to include desserts, they were some of the best things we had.
Yeah,
the apple strudel is a huge portion. I mean, that's probably the biggest portion out of all the things that you've shown. It's the size of a small dinner plate.
It was. We cut that in 3 for the 3 of us, and there was plenty for all 3 of us.
And a lot of apples. That's got to weigh a couple pounds.
It needed ice cream. Was my only comment on it, but it was good.
Sure, that would have been nice. We were doing the videos, which again, Sam, you're going to see them on Sam's channel. You're going to see them on the Intercot channel, and you're going to see them on the Disney Nerds channel.
Yep.
We're basically, we were grading them as we went along. And I don't think we got above maybe 7 or 8 out of 10 for any of the food items or the entree type items. Desserts, crap. We were up at 9 and 10s for
they
so many
started at 9. Yeah, desserts started at 9.
Yeah, and the apple strudel is definitely up there.
Most definitely. It was right towards the top. Then at this point is when we thought, wow, we're never going to make it around World Showcase. But we were on to something and separating and going three ways and bringing food back and then trying it all. Right. Mm-hmm. So the thought was buy something that you think we can share, that we can cut and use three different forks on. And it worked out. It was fun. And I recommend anybody do that. Not even recording yourself. Just go divide and conquer and see what you can get.
No doubt. Now, as we're getting back to the backside of World Showcase, there were a lot more tables or a lot more locations for us to stop. I'm thinking they just haven't pulled all the tables out yet.
I think so. Yes.
Some of my favorite pictures from food festivals, whether it's Food and Wine, Flower and Garden, Art Festival, is everyone trying to huddle around and grab food off of somebody else's plate and then going and squatting onto the ground or on a garbage can or on top of a stroller and trying to eat it.
Yeah, that is true.
Very true.
Most definitely.
Before we get out of Germany, I just wanted to point out something that I think is a hell of a detail that they've done for the last couple of years now. In Germany, you have the railroad tracks. In the center of the railroad setup, you have the town square where you have the city hall. And the town square itself has these flagpoles that every festival, they put the festival's flags in there and scale. So they had the Food and Wine in here this time. They had the Flower and Garden when we were there in June as the festival flags. It like maybe a quarter inch by a quarter inch or something like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's awesome. And they were not there the day before. I was walking around Epcot the day before the festival, and it was disappointing to see all of the booths there, but closed. And the train did not have the decorations up yet. And it was there festival day. So they did it that evening.
Right.
We divided and conquered again next, didn't we?
Yeah. However, we didn't get anything from Spain or Italy, I think.
Well, we did. No, we got one item from Italy because dessert.
Right. But Spain was basically the same as it was last year in that it had that charcuterie in a cup type of thing with the olives and the meat and things like that and paella and things. So relatively the same. Italy had a completely different food menu, no raviolis.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
And the thing in Italy, this is we divided and conquered. I don't remember who went to Italy, but that was the lemon ricotta cheesecake. We'll get back to that.
Right.
Then, Ed, I think you went on to America, to Flavors of America, and picked up a couple of things there.
Right. I picked up the Italian hot beef sandwich there. And I also – and we weren't really discussing desserts at this point. I think just we all kind of clicked in on it because I also got the carrot cake.
Yes.
The freshly baked carrot cake there.
My assignment was to go to Japan. And in Japan, I got the teriyaki chicken bun. And we also got the sushi. Upon returning from Japan, I realized that the funnel cake stand was part of this festival, and I could not leave without candied bacon funnel cake topped with vanilla ice cream, candied bacon, and maple syrup. So I came back with two desserts. I went above and beyond, and we ended up with a plate of things to taste that was just amazing.
And it was crazy good. And I tell you, the desserts, again, were king.
Absolutely king. So if you look at those few things that we had, because we did the desserts, the lemon ricotta cheesecake was amazing. It was good. That was from Italy.
With strawberries on it.
With strawberries. The freshly baked carrot cake with walnuts and cream cheese icing from America was phenomenal. Although we all gave the candied bacon funnel cake either a 9.5 or a 10 because it was absolutely phenomenal. It's like breakfast. I mean, funnel cakes like pancake and then some ice cream and then some bacon. It was so good. Right.
That's the trick. Go there first as the first booth in the morning and have.
I would do that in a minute because that was to me the best thing at the festival. I'm going to say it right now. I absolutely loved it. And then we had an Italian beef sandwich to eat and teriyaki chicken bun,
which was really good. Italian beef sandwich. It was spicy. It was good. Get ready for that. But it was really good.
Now, interesting there, the Italian hot beef sandwich is supposed to be inspired from Chicago.
I learned that afterwards. The
Cipino was inspired by your southern spots, and they also had another chicken quesa, something that was supposed to be more, you know, Texas type inspired Southwest.
What's a Cipino?
Cipino is your seafood stew with tomatoes, broth, and, you know, some mussels, some scallops, and that kind of thing.
The flavors of America.
Yeah, that's all flavors, which was good. Flavors of America were awesome. Mm-hmm. With, of course, a few lagers back there, too, which are not bad. Still going to say the funnel cake was awesome. The chicken bun in Japan, that was more what you were thinking of from the...
Right.
That about reminded me of the short from Pixar.
Yes. Also, over in Animal Kingdom, in Avatar Land, they have that bun.
Stuffed bao.
Right.
Yes. They have that. Yes.
Got it. So the difference being the like more taco style bao versus like stuffed bao bun.
Right. They're similar, I think, consistency of the buns themselves. They just look
different.
It's
the same bun.
Yeah. But the one in Japan, I thought was exactly what we wanted, and it was really good.
It was good. The sushi was good too. Nothing crazy, the sushi, but yeah, it was okay.
No, I think they had the same things last year.
Yeah, it was. I got it because there were three pieces and there were three of us, so it worked out. Greece was next on the list. We were going to walk past it, but I pulled my Western Pennsylvania out and said, I'm going to get a gyro. And they both laughed at me and said, a what? A hero, I get it. I'm sorry. That's the anyone else from what any other Yinzer out there will know exactly.
There's a hard G version of it too, a gyro. So
yes, I get it. It's I understand. It was and that was good. I'm not sure where you went, Ed. I stopped there. Tangerine Cafe. Did we get anything there? Did we get past?
We also got the griddle cheese in Greece too.
Oh, that's right. Because I needed another stamp.
Yeah, that's a flat piece of cheese with pistachios and honey on it. And it's got like a crust, like almost like flan has on it, which is crazy because we also got that from France. We got flan, not flan, I guess. It's creme brulee.
Creme brulee came from France. And
it's got that hard candy stuff on it.
Well, so we skipped the Tangerine Cafe and Belgium and Brazil because Brazil basically just had the cheese bread again.
Right.
Belgium
still is kind of like the same exact, it's waffles.
It's waffles with different toppings.
Braised beef. So again, it was the same items as they had. But the drink was from France. That was a Cosmo, a Parisian Cosmo slush, which was vodka, Grey Goose, Le Citron, Grand Marnier, and cranberry juice. John ended up picking that up, but that was really tasty.
That was, yes.
That sounds very refreshing, the orange and cranberry, and carry you through the season into the holidays.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Imagine the other stand they have in France year-round has the lemonade and the orange. This should be the third thing they add to that because this was so good.
It was. And at this point, while we're walking around, we looked at Ireland and saw fisherman seafood pie and the Irish sausage and the warm pudding.
And at this point, we were so
How are you still walking?
There was
no
way.
Just rolling.
This is when we realized that because all of this is from noon until probably 3 o'clock. Ed, would you say 3 hours to get around?
Pretty much. Yeah. And we did have about a 10-minute break in America because it had just rained.
Yes.
So we were kind of waiting for it to clear up. So we did have a little break. Granted, we were still outside, but we're under that overhang by the art store before the bathroom.
Yeah, right in front of the restrooms. Yep.
All those picnic tables. That's a great little area there.
That is perfect, especially if it's raining. It's a perfect spot.
Yeah.
But it definitely kept us busy. So Ireland and Canada, by the way, the cheddar cheese soup and the filet they are preparing slightly differently this year. They have a mashed potato and mushroom setup instead of the risotto. So it's a little bit different, but they assured us it is the same filet. And
it was $9.75 for the filet. And it's still considered a snack credit on the dining plan when the dining plan comes back. How is that for crazy?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Then we got to, and I don't think we stopped anywhere else. And I had to convince you guys that we need to go and get the completer for this thing.
Right. Well, before we finish up, though, I want to talk about the refreshment port just a little bit.
Absolutely. Yes, of course.
When we started talking tonight, Sam brought this up, and I didn't even notice it until I looked at my book again. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so if you get to page 34 in the book, which is towards the end, and if you look closely, you might not notice it, but there's a sticker over top of the offerings at the refreshment port, because the food is traditional poutine and a braised beef poutine and a couple of drinks. But, you know, if you're really careful and you peel the sticker off, you find the list of all the beaver tails that were cut from the menu at the last minute. So right.
I remember seeing them when I was reviewing for the festival. So they had announced it. They were going to be on the menu. However, it looks like there was a last minute change.
And it is what it is. I don't know, Melissa, did they call you to put all the stickers on this page back here?
Yeah, I have all the paper cuts to prove it.
So now I'll tell you what, guys, just a real aside, let us know what you think. Now, obviously, beaver tails, must be something wrong with the name. They're copyrighted in Canada or something.
Well, so think about it for a second. We talked about the Arctic dots or the orange molecules, which are really dipping dots. And we know that tater tots are not tater tots. They're potato barrel rolls. So, dude, how can they just come up with another name? Call it a maple leaf. Call it something else Canadian that's not a beaver tail. I don't quite get it.
Yeah, I need the cinnamon sugar fried dough. I don't care what you call it. Just bring me the cinnamon sugar fried dough and compete with Sam's candied maple bacon.
Yes, I would love to see that competition.
For those who don't know the beaver tail, imagine a really, really big donut, but smashed down so it's kind of flattish. And
it's
got sugar on it, sugar on the outside of it. And I'm sure they got other flavors, too.
How about a Bigfoot track? Can I throw that out there?
I like that.
Bigfoot print, you know, something like that. Because it's really what it is.
Sasquatch. Well, bear tracks,
something Canada.
Yeah.
Bear track.
I thought an elephant ear would be cool if it was over in Africa. We could move
Right. All right. So can now, I go back a second? Because I want to go back to simmering ships, because Hawaii is not opened. So we could not get the pulled pork slider. But back at Simmering Sips, where they have the guava cake that we didn't get, and a whole bunch of mimosas, by the way, super popular, is also where you go to get the completer for the montage, which is a strawberry cheesecake sundae of sorts, which is vanilla ice cream, strawberry ice cream, chunks of cheesecake. Oh, it was phenomenal. It's the best. It was worth eating all of that cheese.
In a little collector glass? What is
in
the
little
glass
Vermeil's montage glass, which is right next to my garden graze glass from Flower and Garden. But it's a nice little food and wine festival from Vermeil's montage. You can see him on there. Remy's buddy.
Same plastic as the...
Yes, same plastic as the others. You can tell I'm squeezing it a little bit.
No dishwasher. Which
is, it's a little taller than the Flower and Garden glass, but it is the same capacity of liquid. I did try, and they're the same. But one's a little wider and shorter, and the other one's a little bit taller. But this was good, and it was quite the, it was worth completing. And I got my little completer stamp, had all my stamps, and that's what you get. And it was 95 degrees. We ate this thing very, very, very quickly.
Oh, it got liquid fast.
Yes, of course.
Because of all the construction going into where Soarin is, are there booths still along that section of Epcot, or that's all just construction walls and they've sort of diverted you to the other side?
Yes, there's nothing on the side. There's nothing on the World Nature side. Everything is on World Discover. That's what that is, right? Which is the test track / and I would say it starts outside of, as Ed mentioned, it starts outside of the Connections Cafe, sort of right there. It's actually outside of Connections. I want to say Mouse Bear, but I know it's not.
Creations is the cafe.
Connections is a store. It starts right outside of Connections.
And it's right where that little playground is. They have a little playground for kids outside that one door.
Yep.
That's kind of where Food with Fire or whatever, and the Coastal Eats, they're right there.
Coastal Eats is right there.
The fry stand is like by the test track, which is only a couple feet away.
Yep. And that is the area. Green Landing now, Family Play Zone, by the way, that is over there.
No, I never knew that.
That's what it's called. And
I
by the way,
it was a festival thing. Like they always pulled it out and they just added it for festivals, kind of like they did the Easter egg thing for the
Flower yeah, Garden which by the way, Melissa, this goes back to your question about the other side where there's always the playground in the past. That is still all behind construction walls, and so is everything over there. Although we can tell they're doing play testing of Journey to Water. It's lit up at night, and if you go on the monorail, you can see down in there, and there's people in there doing things. Dreamer's Point looks like it has a lot of work.
I took the monorail ride, too, a separate time than Sam. I can't imagine Moana being opened up before the rest of it's done, though.
I can't it really either. It's like got to be one opening.
Something I did notice in there, and we're going to try to post pictures down the road, is that they do have some type of sky bridge going between the buildings over where the fountain used to be. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that. Took pictures. I don't know if it's going to be for cast members only or if it's something that people are going to be able to use. So it's going to be interesting.
Of course. Interesting.
It could be anything.
As part of a meals montage or fromage montage, they also have had a scavenger hunt. I think this year they have hide and squeak
for kids.
Yeah.
Did anyone did Remy's hide either. And squeak? We did take a look. They changed it a little bit. They made it smaller, the map. In fact, the map folds up like a napkin. And the whole idea was now it could fit easier in a pocket. Previously, it was a pretty big map that you, if you remember, the one from Figment was like a painter's palette and it was pretty big. It would get folded up and creased by the end of the day. But this one folds like a napkin. You can put it away. The prize was a lunch tote. I don't want to say it was a lunch box, but it was sort of a bag that folds up for lunches, which is cool for kids.
Cute.
Yep. And we also know, Melissa, that they have a limited time Pluto's Pumpkin Pursuit that'll be out around the Halloween. That's kind of cool.
September 29th through October 31st.
Nice.
That's fine. And I was going to say, this one costs, though. Isn't this one like $9 or $10?
Well, they both cost.
Well, the fromage doesn't. The fromage montage.
But you have to buy five cheese items. Right. You got to buy five cheese items. And so you're paying for that at the end of the day. But I like the Pluto's Pumpkin Pursuit that they've added here because for food for Flower and Garden, they've always had the egg extravaganza Easter egg hunt that they kind of do in the middle of the festival. Now you got a pumpkin pursuit in the middle of the festival. I like that addition, and kids, I think, will really like that. Find Pluto and his pumpkins all around World Showcase.
Melissa, what are those dates again?
The dates of Pluto's Pumpkin Pursuit are September 29th to October 31st, or while supplies last.
Because I have a prediction that the pickle shake glasses might not survive. As we get through the summer into the fall.
Meaning they may run out of them. That's what you're thinking? Maybe.
They seem to do that every year with a different product. I mean, they had that lab where they were making things in the beakers. And
I remember, yes.
They went out of stuff super fast on that one.
Yeah, that was over on the other side of that was in a building that's been torn down.
But kind of similar in the idea in that they kind of were making things in cups that you would take with you when you left there. It wasn't just food and wine.
Yep.
So now, we mentioned how some of the kiosks like Hawaii weren't going to be opening up until August 15th, I think. There are a number of other ones that aren't opening up until September 22nd. So they really are kind of staggering it this year, which I don't remember being three phases last year. What they did do last year for a couple of kiosks is they changed the menu as you went through the different seasons. But I didn't see that at all this year.
We got no indication that that was going to be the case this year.
So there's this new Swirl Showcase, which is Mickey-shaped liquid nitro cake, soft-serve waffle cone, so it's more like a dessert. Fanta grape float and a cream soda float, so really dessert. Another new one is Char and Chop, which is roasted porchetta, a grilled Impossible spicy sausage, and a meat assorté, which is a trio of shaved meats, baby arugula, pickled mustard seeds, and such.
Okay.
Another one, this is kind of a theme, September 22nd, is wine and wedge. Obviously, we're going to have cheese and wine at this one. Assorted artisanal cheeses and accompaniments. Fig and balsamic souffle, southern pimento cheese. Oh, that's going to be good too.
Yeah.
Good wining. Another kiosk, bubbles and brine. So I'm guessing we're going to have some champagne, which we do have at different entries. Shrimp cocktail. Jonah crab claw cocktail, and caviar.
Okay, there you
caviar
go.
Caviar and World Showcase. That's great.
What do you think the caviar will be more than the filet?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
It depends how they serve it. I mean, escargot should be kind of expensive too, and I don't think it is.
As you're reading that, Ed, I'm realizing this is the Food and Wine Festival, and if you look at everything that we tried, we never had a glass of wine.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it was so hot that I think we were only thinking water.
A lot of water and beer, yeah.
Going around.
That's right. I think the only thing we really haven't talked about is the good old Eat to the Beat concert series, which is happening again.
Right.
Yeah, did you guys see anybody while you were there, or were you too full to stand?
Was anybody playing that night?
So it falls into the good old Monday through Thursday. This was a Thursday, the opening day, our local cover bands. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the top-notch bands like the Baja Men or Ray Parker Jr. or Hanson or Billy Ocean or Taylor Dane or Air Supply or Hoobastank or Sugar Ray. I could keep going. I'd like to see 38 Special. But that's so those are your Friday, Saturday, Sunday. In some cases, Thursday. Check the schedule.
Most importantly, the band that we're more concerned about is in November because that's when we have the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's the 11th. See, 38 Special right after
for
that.
November meetups.
Yep, there you go. And I tell you what, I've seen Big Bad Voodoo Daddy do Jungle Book, I Want to Be Like You, and it was phenomenal. Cool. Those guys are so darn good doing that song. I love it. That big band sound with I Want to Be Like You is so good.
Yep, very much so.
To keep you hydrated and awake, any Joffrey fans that you checked out on any of the special drinks that they had this year?
We kept seeing them as we were going by the Joffreys. We didn't stop to get any, but they are all different. So every Joffrey's has a different offering for Food and Wine as far as their special drink goes. Some of them were fruity. Some of them were coffee drinks. They all look really, really good. I totally recommend you guys check that out.
The one at Mission Space, Amaretto Iced Tea, a sweet and nutty blend of black iced tea and amaretto syrup is new this year. And that's got my name written all over it.
So that would be the booth closest to the front of the park, because I didn't even think about the Joffrey's over there by Guardians. It's really where it is. Yeah.
Yep.
The frozen roseberry blend of frozen lemonade and strawberry rose syrup over near Canada. Over near the American Adventure, the Nutty Caramel Mocha Cold Brew. It's kind of like saying they're going back and forth between fruit and coffee. And then the other one is near the Disney Traders, the Java Horchata Espresso. Okay. I don't know what horchata is.
Horchata it's a liqueur, and it tastes like you ate Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal and then drank the milk.
Oh, good. That actually sounds really good.
It's good. I would try that one as well. That sounds good.
Oh yeah, definitely does. And Joffrey's always does well. I mean, I'm not a big coffee fan when I'm running around the parks in 100 degrees, but the fruit drinks they have there are really amazing. And they're not that.
Yeah, we are a Joffrey fan in our house. I ordered Joffrey's coffee just to drink at home, and I think it really sounds they used to do classes, you know, when you could go and do all the cooking classes during Food and Wine. Joffrey's offered some of their classes as well for mixing drinks, and that was when some of that laser milk printing kind of got started. So it was really neat to meet the owner and chat with him, and ever since I've been a Joffrey's fan. So
cool. Very cool. They have Joffrey's in the rooms. The coffee they have in the rooms for the little coffee machines are all Joffrey's.
Yes, they're updated from the 50th anniversary blend to now the, is it just the Disney World blend?
The Resort blend.
That's it, Resort blend.
Beans from Central South.
You can often find Joffrey's Disney blends at TJ Maxx. So they're holiday blends.
I will remember
that. Yep, and you'll get a couple bucks off.
Cool.
Very cool.
Okay, guys. So what do you think? We've done the Food and Wine. We've hit almost all the kiosks. What did we miss? Or what was your favorite?
We missed a lot. We missed a lot. I want to go back to dinner.
which you cannot do everything at one time. We have to make sure everybody realizes that. We don't want people exploding at the end of their day. This is definitely something you hopefully can plan over your trip to go one or two times, if not three different times. A lot of times, if we're down there for a couple of days, we'll hit Epcot at night. We'll just go around 6:30, 6 o'clock to go to a couple of kiosks, watch the fireworks.
I want to bring one other thing up, because we mentioned before, we did this from like noon until 3 with the food booths opening at 11, right? It was noon when we were in Mexico, so we actually started around 11. I think that's when we met, and we were in the brew wing at 11. Mm-hmm. The park got more and more crowded as it got to evening. And I'm going to say that to pull off what Ed and I and John did, you need to be doing it at 11 a.m. I don't know that you could go three different places and wait in those three different lines and pull food back when it gets more crowded. So I'd call it a breakfast / lunch. Start with the funnel cake, like Melissa said, and then pick your direction.
Right. Brunch and a dinner. Great.
Anyway, I just want to throw it got crowded. I don't know if you were there that evening yet, but it definitely picked up.
Yeah, food and wine has always been a locals thing, especially Friday, Saturday evening. Always
this
busy,
was a Thursday. And I wonder if that's why they opened it on Thursday, Melissa. It was weird.
Well, it's still school hasn't started anywhere. So lots of families are still that's vacationing true. Or going. Florida school should be going back in the next week. As you get into September, then you're really just looking at the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, guys.
That was fun.
Very much so. Thank you very much.
I'm hungry now.
Okay, guys. So what do you think? Send us an email. Let us know what we missed. Tell us what your favorite item was. Let us know when you're going to be down there next. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
I thought he's on a cruise.
Yeah. I think he is. I missed a pork slider in Hawaii. That's what I missed.
Okay, guys, so that was our food tour of Epcot's International Food and Wine for 2023. For Sam, for Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
And it's so much more fun actually doing the tour as opposed to, you know, talking about it like we've done in the past.
Oh, no doubt.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your